Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food & Company, where your pet's health is our business, and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble, because gosh knows that kibble is known to have glycophades. Would I be correct in saying that, Dr. Jasek?
Well, yes, I believe you would. It's actually pretty well proven at this point. This isn't even theoretical because we know that crops are sprayed with glyphosate as a drying agent after they're harvested. And these are the things that are going into kibble, such as grains and even your beans, peas, lentils. So your grain-free kibbles are not any better. They're every bit as bad. They're every bit as inflammatory. And now we put the glyphosate chemical on top of that, which makes kibble even more toxic and cancer-causing to our pets.
Well, I want to give you a little update on glyphosate. I keep thinking, I say that backwards, glyphosate. It's glyphosate, right?
Right. That's the way I say it. But
put the pH in there first. Okay. So, you know what's really interesting? We were talking on the last podcast about my situation here in the neighborhood up in Evergreen. And I, by golly, I got a phone call from the head of the committee here in Evergreen in regards to them spraying. And this was, he was a very nice man. But what I quickly found out, Dr. Jasek, from asking questions was that nobody that sits on the committee is a vet, a doctor, a toxicologist. They're just citizens. And I asked him why they were doing this. Why are you spraying? And he said, well, because it's a mandate by the state. And I said, well, what are the repercussions of the state, by the state, if you don't spray? He said, I have no idea. I have no idea if what the repercussions would be. And as he talked, he said, you know, this opportunity came up. We haven't sprayed in 3 years, but this opportunity came up. And I said, what opportunity are we talking about? And he said, well, in the last 3 years, we haven't had the staff. We haven't had the help. We haven't had the ability to go out and spray. And Summit County came along and they, you know, basically lent us their people. And as he talked, I said, so what you're saying is that you had a cheap alternative, a way to spray that was cheap. And he said, well, yes, that's correct. And I said to him, why are you using these sprays that are highly toxic to humans and pets? And again, he said, well, if you want to opt out, you can. I said, I can't opt out because my neighbors up the street are spraying them. And with these rains, I said, would you agree that this pesticide keeps rolling downhill? And he said, yes, I would agree. I said, then why are we doing this? Well, because some of your neighbors want their cheatgrass treated. I said, and there's no other way to put this mandate in place, maybe with fines, maybe with something that is not toxic, just because somebody is too lazy or unable to go out and pull their cheatgrass?
Right.
I asked him, I said, what is grass worth? Weeds. What are weeds worth versus someone in your family? Is their life less than weeds? the weeds that are growing? He said, well, no, of course not. And I talked about glyphosate and why we talk about these subjects and how on the last podcast we talked about walking where the noxious weeds are, because that's not where the glyphosates are. And the glyphosates coming up through the dog's pad and causing cancer. And you know what he said?
What?
I have a dog that we're dealing with cancer in just that fashion right now.
Wow.
Who is making this mandate that you're following? Because I don't care to present all the information to you. If there is somebody else that I'm going to present all this information to, and you're going to say, well, my hands are tied.
He's just the messenger or the sprayer in this case. But yeah, who's making the call?
Right. And he said, well, I don't know exactly. I think that might be Summit County. So what struck me in this entire conversation was that there's very little knowledge or understanding about the chemicals. There's no one talking to the residents about it. There's a few people that want their weeds sprayed, but there's not information out there that's saying what the danger is. And I find this is the way our culture is, Dr. Jasek, specifically right now, that information is either withheld, misdirected, directed in another way, diverted, or suppressed.
Right.
And this is not good. This is not good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think people, you know, we were talking about this before, you know, the podcast. People need to be really aware of where their information is coming from and who's putting it out there. Just like in this case, who's deciding that your weeds need to be sprayed? This guy doesn't know. And it baffles me a bit that he wouldn't ask or he wouldn't know that. Just, okay, you go, you know, these people want their weeds sprayed, go spray the weeds. Okay. You know, without even knowing why he's out there doing it, or, you know, God forbid what he's spraying and how it's affecting him. Is he out there with any, you know, protective equipment on? He's breathing the stuff in. You know, he's putting his own life at risk just out there spraying, and I'm sure he's not even aware of that.
Well, as I was driving home last night, it was raining. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking over on the right side of the road, and here are cows. Cows eating the grass. The grass that is now polluted because they've been spraying up here, and everything's rolling downhill as it rains. And I don't think that people, I'm not sure what people think, Dr. Jasek, in regards to clean soil. Okay, so people, well, I'm gonna, you know, create my own garden here in Evergreen. Well, what's in your soil? What is rolling downhill, and what is in your soil because somebody wants their weeds sprayed?
Right.
It just infuriates me.
I've actually heard that glyphosate has been detected in the rain because there's so much of it in our environment that is the ground, is the water, the surface water on the planet, like evaporates up into the clouds and then comes back down as rain. It's actually in the rain because there's so much of it used.
Mainstream media probably isn't where you're going to get all sides. Okay, you're not going to get all sides of scientists. Reviews, you're not going to get all the information that's available. And I think that we should get all of the information available. God knows if raw dog food information was suppressed, and they've tried many times to change the narrative on raw dog food. You and I have seen it out there. But back to this, go take a look at Plandemic. The series, plandemic.com or plandemictheseries.com. Dr. Judy Makovits, very compelling story, incredible. You want to read the follow-up or watch the follow-up interview especially. One of the things that she said in the follow-up interview, Dr. Jasek, I don't know if you've seen the follow-up interview yet. She was talking about vaccines. She said the only vaccine that she would ever take, ever, is the rabies vaccine. So she's saying if you get rabies, you know, then that disease is going to be far worse than something that you could get out of the rabies vaccine. Now, that was on the human side, but I thought that was very interesting.
But then you have to look at, well, what's the risk of getting the disease? You know, like I talk to my pet parents about that all the time. You know, there's this whole, oh, we got to just keep vaccinating. Like, okay, let's step back. What is the pet's actual risk of getting these diseases in the first place? And, you know, there's this this phrase I've heard around the COVID on some of the podcasts I've listened to, and it's about preparing the terrain, or like tending to the terrain. This is the terrain of your body. And if you keep your body healthy, like this whole concept that we have an immune system and our pets have an immune system that can eliminate virus and bacteria if we take care of it properly, it gets completely overlooked in veterinary medicine and in conventional medicine. And I believe there's just this huge agenda on the COVID thing to push this vaccine because there's so much money to be made. So they're not going to say, well, take some vitamin D and take some zinc and you know, eat a healthy diet, and you just, this COVID thing may not even be an issue for you. They don't want people to be thinking that way. And it's not talked about in the veterinary profession either. I was actually watching a thing yesterday that this hydroxychloroquine, which has been around for years and years and years as a decades, like 70 or 80 years as a malaria treatment. And a lot of people take it like as a malaria preventative when they travel abroad. And it's been shown to be really safe. And now they're saying, oh, it's deadly. And you know, that they are actually prohibiting doctors from using it to treat COVID. And it's been proven to help. If you treat with it early in the disease, like people first tested and minimal symptoms, it's been proven to be effective against COVID. And they are actually preventing doctors from using it. So they're completely, you know, censoring what doctors can use on their patients. It's not like a physician should be able to prescribe what he or she feels is appropriate for their patient. But now it's being dictated to them which drugs they can or cannot use. And I believe this all because they don't want a safe, effective treatment for this. They want to push their vaccine agenda. And I think that's the underlying agenda behind a lot of the news that we're seeing, a lot of the information we're getting.
Well, and I don't know, in the follow-up interview that Dr. Mikovits did, she speaks about the flu vaccine, which we're getting ready to come into the flu season, right? And they're really starting to push this vaccine. They were talking about why there were so many deaths in Italy. And she specifically speaks to the flu vaccine that the elderly population got over there and how it primed the system basically for these respiratory issues. And so I think that everyone needs to hear that and then make your decisions accordingly to what you are going to do with your own body in taking the flu vaccine, this coronavirus vaccine. I think it's very scary that they're saying that they're going to mandate. And I think I just heard where Massachusetts has mandated flu vaccines for any kid going into school. Now, that's crazy. And I don't know, if I had a child, I probably wouldn't. Well, I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't put him in there. I just wouldn't put him in school. And I would homeschool him somehow. But this is crazy stuff that's going on. And you talk about censorship. I mean, we talked about this last week where one of your patients, Dr. Jasek, went to their traditional veterinarian, knew that she was feeding a raw diet. She went in to get a blood draw so that she could check liver enzymes. They wouldn't do it. They said, if you're on a raw diet, we know those are not going to be good numbers, so therefore we're not going to draw blood. However, you did draw blood. What did you find?
Oh my gosh, this was like so amazing. So the liver values were down by about 80%. They came down so dramatically. And, you know, this dog, it just looks fantastic. You know, I saw it for the blood draw. And when I saw it the first time, you know, this, you know, these folks were trying to figure out what on earth to feed this dog. They just didn't really know what to do or what direction to go. So I think they were on like a chicken and rice diet while they were figuring stuff out. And so the dog wasn't getting optimal nutrition. And in just like a few weeks of being on raw, this dog, it put on weight, it put on muscle mass. And this is a dog with supposed, you know, severe liver dysfunction. And this dog just looks fantastic, full of energy, coat looks fantastic. And you can tell with that kind of vitality, like, okay, we're gonna see some improvements. And sure enough, those values came down so dramatically. It was so good to see.
Unbelievable. Was she gonna go back and show those results to her vet?
You know, I don't know. When I saw them, they were actually heading out of town for a wedding, actually. They were dropping the dog off at her parents' house in the Springs, and they were heading out of town. So, I don't know what they'll do. A lot of people just get so incensed by this sort of thing that they'll go back in and say, look, you know, you said that, you know, this raw was gonna just make my dog worse, and look at these values, you know. And I mean, who can argue with that? Or it would be really interesting to hear the response of the vet and like what reason they'll come up with. Cause you know, they're not going to credit the raw diet. So what are they going to attribute those improvements to? It would be really interesting to hear.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Not that we haven't heard it before. Right. We hear so many crazy things. You know, I got an email yesterday from a girl who has a mastiff, who was born with one kidney. Okay, we've had dogs that have had one kidney before. But she was inquiring about arthrite. And this was what was a little confusing about the email, was that she was very concerned about what she was putting in her dog's body because he had one kidney. So she wanted to know what was in the trite. There couldn't be anything in the trite, but just trite. And yet she was feeding a prescription diet and adding tripe to it. And I was confused about that, Dr. Jacy. Well, I'm not confused about it, but I'm confused on how people can be confused about it. I'm not sure why folks think that prescription diets are any better than the grocery store products, because I don't know if our listeners know, but the same manufacturers that make prescription diets make the grocery store commercial food. Okay. They still use the same cheap ingredients. And you and I have done research on the labels. We cannot find anything in the prescription diets that actually are prescription. What makes those diets prescription?
The only thing that makes them prescription is that they only allow veterinarians to sell them, and they charge a lot more. It's marketing. And that's what, you know, so many things are about out there, and people get swayed by the marketing. And I mean, how many people actually read the ingredients? Just read the ingredients and use your common sense on some of these diets and ask yourself if you really think this would be a healthy diet for a dog, for anything, any living thing. Because the ingredients are terrible. But I think, you know, people believe the marketing, and, you know, and their veterinarian says, oh, this is the food your pet, you know, needs to be on. And I understand they're following, you know, the advice of, you know, someone they consider a trusted professional. But, you know, as veterinarians are, I think, falling for the same marketing game too. And they're not reading the labels and using their common sense either. And I think you have to begin to think for yourself. You know, these big, like you were saying, there's these huge corporate conglomerates that own the whole pet food industry, prescription, non-prescription, all of it. It's just, they just put the stuff, same stuff in different bags and put a different label on it and charge different amounts for it and do different marketing campaigns so they get different populations. Well, they can sell it in the grocery store and they can sell it in the vet clinic and they can market it, you know, different ways and tell people how wonderful it is for their pets. But, you know, people need to start reading labels and thinking for themselves. You just can't believe the marketing. And that's what they want. They don't want you thinking for yourself. They want you to just believe all this marketing propaganda that's out there. And you've got to wake up. And I think this case you were just talking about, it sounds like she's pulling information from all these different sources and putting it together in her mind in a way that kind of makes sense to her, but to like you and I, like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. And it certainly doesn't sound healthy for the pet.
No, because I said, listen, you might want to talk to Dr. Judy Jasek. And I explained why. And she said, well, I'm good on vets. I have 2 internal medicine vets and I do a blood test every 3 months. And she said, I don't have the same philosophy as you regarding prescription diets and raw diets. So I'm like, well, no, you don't if you're feeding prescription. And certainly with the dog with one kidney, although I think that's, you know, I don't even know if I'd feed it. Well, first of all, I would never feed a dog kibble or even canned. But she wants to keep the protein, phosphorus in balance and keep the bun and creatine in check. But we don't see that those levels are ever good on a kibble diet. And one thing I think that they don't realize is that, you know, in these prescription diets, they talk about protein, right? So you want to have higher levels of highly digestible real protein. And that's what you get in a raw diet, right? You don't want the denatured, low quality protein with a dog that has one kidney or kidney problems. You also want a high level of moisture. That's what you get in the raw diet. Not to mention that moisture that's in the raw diet has so many vitamins and minerals in it. It's the ruptured cells that you see. And then the phosphorus, I mean, Dr. Jasek, we know that you can control phosphorus in some very natural ways, bone being one of those, green leafy vegetables is another. And then in prescription diets, one thing that they do is they restrict the sodium levels. And we know that that is not necessarily a safe thing to do, to restrict the sodium levels in these diets. And lastly are the omega-3s. The omega-3 that they put in these prescription diets many times go rancid. So these are not good things for any dog, much less a dog that might be compromised in some type of a health way.
No, right. I mean, absolutely. You have to be supporting that one kidney that the dog has. And probably the dog, if that other kidney, the kidney that's there, is normal, this dog could function just fine. I mean, people do, you know, people donate kidneys and stuff. You know, you can definitely operate on 50% of quote unquote normal kidney function, i.e. one kidney missing. But you have to be supporting that kidney nutritionally. And, you know, this whole thing about the protein, when you're getting when the protein source is from grains, which a lot of times it is in the prescription diets, yeah, you bet. You feed too much of that and it will really make them sick. And the other thing is that, you know, we've talked about this before too, raw diets are not overly high in protein. I mean, people seem to have this impression sometimes that because it's meat, the meat's 100% protein. So a raw diet is 100% protein. Like I'm feeding all protein. I mean, I've heard that. I'm like, well, no, you're not. The actual protein percentage is what, do you need like 12 to 15% or something like that in a raw diet?
Yeah, I mean, it could go anyway up to 20%, but still, it's not 100% protein, or even if you've got an 80-10-10, 80%, you know, meat, 10% organ, 10% bone, it's not 80% protein. And we have heard vets quote that number. We're like, what? Where did you go to school? Oh, never mind. We know where you went to school. Some of the things that are in these prescription diets are brewer's yeast, powdered cellulose, and we want you to go back to your vet and we want you to ask them to review the ingredient list in the prescription diet and ask them for hard evidence that the foods in the prescription diet are any better and why they are any better than those in regular diets. And by the way, brewer's yeast and powdered cellulose are not prescription. And why would you want them anyway? Brewer's yeast has been known to be an allergen in dogs, or cause allergies in dogs. So I think you have to ask more questions. You have to ask more questions. And if an internal medicine doctor is telling you this, yikes, that scares me. It really does scare me about who is taking care of our pets out there, Dr. Jacek.
Yeah, it truly is scary. And I get more and more baffled all the time by the stuff I hear, like this refusal to run blood work. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, how close-minded can you be? And the thing is like you were just saying, there's no evidence to prove anything, that there's anything about raw that's bad or unhealthy. There's no true evidence. It's all propaganda. And this goes back to, where are you getting your information? Like we were talking about a little bit ago, you know, where are you getting your information? People don't ask their vet, well, where did you get that information from? And can you prove to me that, you know, dogs have been made sick on raw? And I can guarantee you that they cannot. It's all presumptive. And I see it over and over and over again. Dogs go into the vet and they're sick and they find out they're feeding raw and they just say, well, it's got to be the raw then. And they stop there. They don't even look for anything else. And that's negligent, in my opinion. You can't be doing that and not risk, you know, overlooking other medical issues. There could be other things going on with the pet and you're just blaming it on the raw, which has no foundation whatsoever.
No. Your top four guys that are out there that are going to fall into that prescription diet category: Hill's, Science Diet, Purina, Royal Canin, and Iams. All right. So these are your top players in the prescription diet category. If you're going to feed those and pay double the price, just go ahead and buy the stuff off of the grocery store shelves. Because if you want to compare the ingredients, they are almost identical. All right. We've done it many, 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 many times. So just to finish up on the kidneys, Dr. Jacek, what is it that keeps kidneys healthy for our pet parents that have dogs with kidney issues?
Honestly, my nutritional recommendations don't change that much. The nutritional principles are the same, whether it's a perfectly healthy, you know, 1-year-old pet or a pet with some underlying disease condition. We have to be supporting the body nutritionally. And for dogs, those principles don't change. And you need balanced whole food nutrition that you get from a raw diet. And, you know, when this person was, you know, talking about balancing phosphorus and all this, as soon as you start micromanaging nutrients like that, there's a big risk of throwing the body out of balance nutritionally. Like that phosphorus needs to be in a certain balance, a certain ratio with the calcium and with other minerals. And these nutrients are all meant to work together synergistically. That's why we, you know, feed ground bone and feed, you know, the whole foods where these ingredients are there with the other nutrients that they're meant to work synergistically with. That's going to provide the best nutrition. And then we look at the blood work in my opinion, this dog was on a healthy, species appropriate diet. So dogs are not meant to eat grains and legumes and beans and all the stuff that you see ground up in kibble. I suspect if this dog was on a healthy species appropriate diet and you continue to monitor its blood work, it would do fine, provided that the one remaining kidney is functional and healthy. I mean, there's always this chance there could be some genetic anomaly in that kidney as well. But as long as that kidney is healthy, this dog could live a perfectly normal, healthy life. And it wouldn't have to be this like intense balancing act of the nutrients. Just feed it a species appropriate, healthy diet. And most of those pets will do fine. And then we continue to monitor blood work. And if we do indeed see that, say, the phosphorus is creeping up, well, then we can do things to help bind the phosphorus and help the body excrete it so that the blood levels don't stay up, because that does make them feel kind of crummy if that happens. But if they're not, if the phosphorus isn't elevated, I don't think we should be overmanaging the phosphorus level. Just continue to, you know, feed the dog a healthy diet and keep an eye on those values. But you don't want to be interfering with, you know, with Mother Nature. Mother Nature knows what to do, and we feed this whole food species appropriate diet. The body knows what to do with those nutrients. You put in a bunch of grains and legumes and all these toxic ingredients, it throws the, you know, the whole body out of whack, and it can't even, you know, function the way it was meant to.
When I was watching last night the follow-up on the Plandemic series with Dr. Mm-hmm. Judy Makovits, I was thinking about you, because exactly what you're saying about Mother Nature. She said for centuries, you know, our immune system has, if we allow it to become stronger, evolve with the bacteria, with the viruses, and if we keep our immune system strong. But here's what he said that reminded me of you and the way you practice. He said, but today we want instant gratification. If the body has an issue, we want it to be fixed in an hour. We want to go take a pill and it be fixed in the hour. He said, when in fact, it may just take a week for the body to recover naturally and to do everything it needs to do to improve its responses for future attacks. But we want to go in and have something done through a pill or through medication or through a shot and be well in 5 minutes. And right. it was very interesting to hear him talk about it, because what I took away from that is the more that we put antibiotics, medications into our body, the less strong we are.
It does, because it's suppressive. So what you know, medications do people like, okay, I wanna feel better quick, so I'm gonna take something. Say you're running a fever, and like, okay, I'm gonna take something, and I go take some ibuprofen so that my fever goes down. Well, okay, you can decrease the fever, but that fever is that's how your body fights the microorganisms, because these microorganisms that infect the body, they're going to function best at a normal body temperature. So how does the body get rid of them? Well, it bumps up the temperature a few degrees and cooks these microorganisms, and they don't survive at that temperature. So the fever is actually a way for the body to help fight disease. But no, we don't want to feel crummy. We want to go on with our lives, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. You know, heaven forbid we go, you know, spend a day in bed and rest and our bodies to recover. Sometimes we don't do that as well as we could, but you do, if you suppress all as the drugs do, is they suppress symptoms and they suppress the body's immune system, and like you were saying, the ability of the body to get stronger. So you're never allowing your body's immune system to grow and to learn. And the more things it's exposed to, the more things it will be able to defend you against. And if you just keep suppressing and suppressing and suppressing and giving drugs that mess up the microbiome, yeah, the body's going to get weaker and weaker, and you're going to get sicker and sicker.
It's amazing. It's amazing the way that we see things, and when you are exposed to new information, how a curtain opens and you're like, wow, why didn't I see that before? Right? Why didn't I think that before? So it's great that you keep looking and investigating both sides, all sides of information, so that you can make the best decision for you and your pet. Last question before we go today, Dr. Jasek. Can a dog be allergic to another dog?
I suppose that's possible. I think it's unlikely. I think it's pretty unlikely. I would definitely want to know more about the situation. And I would suspect that if there's, you know, symptoms, you know, itchy skin or whatever, quote unquote, allergy symptoms there are, that there's likely another reason for it and not being allergic to the other dog. We'd want to make sure there wasn't mites being transferred back and forth or, you know, all sorts of things like that. I mean, let me say this, I've never seen that or identified that as an issue with a dog. So, you know, you can always learn something new, but I think that's pretty unlikely.
Yeah, so this is the same dog that came home from, so it's a rescue dog, came into the home. One dog was totally fine. This particular dog, before the pet parent got it, 60 ticks were taken off this dog, came from Texas. She got the dog. She's done, and immediately, or it seemed very quickly after she got the dog, her other dog started itching. She's been using diatomaceous earth. She's done the different baths. You and I talked on the podcast about doing one dose of the topical flea and tick medication. And she is just about at her wit's end. So she asked me, could my dog be allergic to the other dog? And I said the same thing you said. I've not seen that. Maybe it's some type of dander. Maybe it's the mites. I think the mites can even be misdiagnosed from what I understand, Dr. Jason, because they're so small, right? I mean, they're so incredibly small. But you're saying that if you do one dose of the topical flea and tick, that should get rid of the mites?
Yeah, you'd at least see an improvement. It might take a second dose to completely eliminate them. But I've done this on dogs that are just severely, severely itching, just incessantly itching to the point that they're miserable, they're scratching sores in their skin, and just the other things that I would normally do to help support them, nothing seems to be working. And so we would give a dose. And you do a skin scraping. So you do try to look for the mites, but they are microscopic. And so you do a skin scraping on a certain little spot of the skin, and you could miss them. If they're not right there where you're doing the skin scraping, you can miss them. And so just doing that one dose when the dog is, you know, so miserable like that, you will definitely see an improvement. So dogs that have mites that I've done that with, within a week, they are feeling markedly better. And so when you have an itchy dog that just doesn't respond to anything else, you know, you can do that one dose and just see if it helps. But my first suspicion when I hear that a new dog is introduced and the other dog starts itching like crazy, I definitely would think mites, especially a dog that came with a bunch of ticks and, you know, they come from a more warm, humid environment where there's a lot more bugs than we have here in Colorado. So it's something that, you know, their other dog would not be used to being exposed to. And then, you know, a little stress of introducing a new dog into the household. And that would be the first thing that I would think. And they are really hard to, you know, to diagnose sometimes.
Why would you do the topical over the chewable? I mean, the chewable just makes my heart hurt. But anyway, I'm going to ask you, why would we not do the chewables?
I would say, I mean, if you're going to give something like that, don't dump it right in the gut, because then we've talked a lot about keeping a healthy microbiome, keeping the gut healthy. And if you're putting those medications, so you're giving something that's a pesticide and you're putting it right in the gut, you're going to be killing off a lot of gut bacteria directly. And even doing the topical, you could still have some impact on the gut, but I think you'd stand, it would be hopefully less of an impact than dumping those chemicals right in the gut.
That just hurts me. That just hurts me to think about those chewables. It really does. I think I've got another dog that probably has mites because of what you just said. This dog has been on Apoquil, is on a raw diet, and she just sent me pictures the other day, and he's got like bumps all over his wrist from chewing, and he just can't stop the itching. And so through our podcast, through everything that we've talked about, she said to me the other day, she said, this sounds like he might have mites.
And you know, it's a case where sometimes doing a conventional approach can have value, because when you have bugs like this and the dog is miserable, the stress of this itching and the risk of skin infections and all of that is also very detrimental to the dog. So it's a trade-off. Is doing that dose of that medication to kill those mites when this poor dog is just suffering 24 hours around the clock because of the itching and these mites are just driving it nuts? Well, all that stress is also really detrimental. So intervening with something more conventional is at times appropriate. Is it appropriate to give these flea and tick medications every month, year round, regardless? No, no. But giving it to alleviate the stress and get rid of mites, you know, because when you're trying to get rid of something like that, you know, natural things don't do a very good job at killing things. You have to sometimes intervene with something stronger, but it's very targeted. And again, if you're supporting the dog with a good diet, that raw diet, it still has value because we're still supporting the immune system. And once we can start to eliminate the mites, yes, we gave the dog this chemical, but guess what? His body is going to be able to eliminate it. He or she is going to have a healthy liver and kidneys, and is going to be able to eliminate that chemical, and then they're going to feel better because the mites are gone and they're going to do great. So sometimes we do need to do some conventional stuff, but it should be very, very targeted for the individual case.
Right, and we should know what the risk and the rewards are. You just explained that beautifully. And I think that that's what we like to teach here on the Raw Dog Food Truth. We like to help you understand how to disseminate the information, how to ask the questions, and how to do the best thing for your pet. One of the best things that you can do for your pet is to go see or have a consult with Dr. Judy Jasek. That's J-A-S-E-K. Her website is ahavet.com. That's Animal Healing Arts here in the Colorado area. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the Raw Dog Food Truth. If you would like to start your pet on a species-appropriate diet, please go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, Dr. Jasek.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.